This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony. Now, if Catherine Kuhlman were here today, she'd say, today I'm going to be telling you something about Missouri cornbread basics. So I don't have Missouri cornbread, I have pasta marinara. Pasta marinara today. Very simple message, but very profound. And the Word of God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'll say it again. Greater is he, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is in you than he that is in the world, that rotten devil. Greater is he in you. He lives and moves and has his being in you. Know who you are today. You've been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. You've given your life to Jesus. You've not compromised. Everything's going wrong. Well, I'm telling you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I'm going to tell you, all the prophets faced the same thing. Everything was going wrong. Oh, they hated Elijah. They hated him with a hate that could be for 18 people. They hated the man who proclaimed the word of God and who did signs and wonders. I'm going to tell you, they hated him. And they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated him. Why? Because his very presence called people to repentance. He didn't have to even say a word. His very presence called people to repentance. They hated him. That's why they put him on a cross. They hated him, but I can tell you, the cross could not hold him. And the tomb could not hold him. And nothing could hold him, not death, nothing. He's been raised from the dead and pours out his Holy Spirit upon you today. Now, you might not be experiencing the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to tell you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ask and you shall receive. What are we asking for? I want a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seek and you shall find. I want to seek a greater presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Knock and the door will be opened. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. I knock. Come in with all your wonders. All your wonders. We need a new Pentecost. That's what we need in the church. A new Pentecost. We do not need a new society. We do not need a new group of people. We need a new Pentecost. As a matter of fact, when they convened the Second Vatican Council years ago, John the 23rd prayed that there would be a new Pentecost. A new Pentecost. That's what the church needs today. Oh, we don't need women being ordained. And we don't need men that think they're better than women. Oh, no, we don't need any of that stuff. What we need is a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Because where there is no outpouring of the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. And the very essence of the church, because he's the head, his name is Jesus, the very essence of the church is something should be happening every day. Because he's the Lord. He's the head of the church. If you're in an area and you're saying nothing's happening, the Lord's going to kiss you today and wake you up. Oh, he's not going to shake you. He's not into shaking. He's going to kiss you and wake you up. Because something needs to be happening in your life. Something needs to be happening through you. Because Jesus Christ has sent his Holy Spirit upon the church, upon you, and upon me. Now, you might be having a difficult time. Oh, we all have difficult times. That's just the way it is. I'm going to tell you, Elijah had a difficult time. The old Jezebel was after him. You want to know? Elijah had defeated the prophets of Baal. and have them all dead, one man over hundreds of people. Oh, but then the old girl Jezebel said to Elijah, I'm not going to sleep until I kill you. And what happened with poor Elijah? He was under a tree weeping because the old girl Jezebel was after him. I'm going to tell you why. He was spiritually exhausted. You see, God does not only do miracles through us, but he does miracles through us, not only to us. And not only does God do the miracle, but he works through human instruments. Poor Elijah was exhausted after God killed the prophets of Baal. And he's under a tree. I want to die, he said. Now, I'm going to tell you, if an American went up to him, he would have said, get up, Elijah, and do something more for the Lord. That's not what happened. You know what happened? He was under a tree, and God sends an angel. And he sends an angel with cake. It's the first angel food cake in the Bible. And he says, take and eat, because you're going to be running a long way. God is so very caring. He did not say to Elijah, get up and run. Get up and do something. No, take and eat. You need the strength to what God's going to be doing in you. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. Just take it easy today. Take it easy. God is still on his throne. He hears and answers prayer. As Catherine Kuhlman used to say, God is still upon his throne, and he hears and answers prayer. And as long as your faith in him is intact, everything's going to come out all right. Oh, I listened to the woman of God so many times, and I heard that word every day. Just as long as God is still on his throne and hears and answers prayer, everything's going to become all right. I know it to be true because he is a winner. The Lord Jesus is a winner. He's never lost one person. Oh, people have been lost, but not because of Jesus, because they turned away from the Lord Jesus. Nothing shall separate you today from the love of God. Oh, nothing is nothing. We're now in January. Christmas is over. People are experiencing the blues after Christmas. Well, let's allow those blues to become music and sing the blues today in the name of Jesus. God has something for you, something wonderful for you in the midst of what you're going through, and he wants to lift you up and lift you out of what you're going through if it's not positive, if it's not Christ-centered. You see, I'm going to tell you a secret. God does not choose strong people. You want to know why? There are no strong people. We're all needy and poor. God chooses the needy and the poor. What does he do? He pours out his spirit upon the needy and the poor to do exploits in the kingdom of God. That's true. That's true. You know what some people said when I got on radio? He's got a nerve to go speak on the radio. He's got a nerve. Well, I do. I had a nerve. I had money, and I wanted to use the money that I had so that God's word would be accomplished. And I thought maybe 3 months we'd do this because that was the money I had for 3 months. But we've been doing it 41 years because of Jesus, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, it's not because of me. It's because of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus knows how to do things? That's why I always want to be in back of the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that knows how to do things. Maybe you've reached a dead-end street in your life. Put your hands in the hands of the Lord Jesus. He knows how to do things. Get away from the feelings of failure, defeat, and death, and put your eyes on Jesus. Let your eyes look to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Do not look to your past. Do not look to other people. Look to Jesus today, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And he will bring you through this. Oh, Elijah was under the broom tree after he had defeated the prophets of Baal. And what did God do for him? I told you, sent an angel with the cake, the first angel food cake that you ever hear about. That's what happened to Elisha. And what did the angel say to him? Take and eat, because this will give you strength for your journey. And you know what happened with Elisha afterwards? He ran and ran and ran, miles after miles after miles, being filled with the angel food cake. Let me tell you a secret. We've got better than an angel food cake as Catholics. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. We've got better than an angel food cake. And God wants us to know that he gives his son's body, blood, soul, and divinity to his people every day if they want to receive him. Every day. It's not a picture of Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself as Eucharist. You see, I know a lot of Catholics don't even believe this anymore. As a matter of fact, they've never been taught. They've never been taught. When I was 7 years old, I didn't go to parochial school. I never frequented parochial school. But I remember the sister, her name was Devota Marie. Sister Devota Marie, she told us about the living Jesus as Eucharist. And guess what? I believed her. I believed that sister. Oh, she was a young kid. But she had faith. And she told us in the second grade that in May we're going to receive the Lord Jesus himself as Holy Communion. And we believed that. As a matter of fact, it's still true. It's still true. You can go and receive the Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity as Eucharist. Maybe you need to go to confession first. Get those rotten sins out of your life and turn to Jesus for a new life and a new hope and a new power. The very power of the Holy Spirit.
Father, just keep going. You got the river flowing right through you today.
Well, the power of the Holy Spirit comes when we are in need. After the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles went back to the upper room. They didn't know what to do. So what do you think they started to do? They started to pray. I'm going to tell you, prayer is dangerous. It'll not only change your life, it'll change your way of life. And they prayed. Oh, they prayed. The Lord had been ascended, and he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. You know, that power is available to you. That power is available to me. The power of the Holy Spirit. We forget the very power of the Holy Spirit. We say, well, at confirmation, we received the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe that. Where's the power? That's what I want to know. Where's the power? It's all plugged up. No one's preaching about the power. They're preaching about the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's true. But what about the power? The saints could not live without the power of the Holy Spirit. The apostles could not live in Rome and through the Romans without the power of the Holy Spirit. I cannot live without the power of the Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus say in his last word, the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. Not only me, but you. That's his last words. You want to know what the last words of my father was? Take care of your mother. His last words. Take care of your mother. Those were his last words. He couldn't do it anymore. And he was giving me a homily in a few words. Take care of your mother. What are the last words of Jesus? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. Last words of Jesus. After that, guess what happened? He was drawn up. He was drawn up. He was drawn up into heaven. And the apostles and the 120 were all there looking at Jesus going up. Mouths are wide open. Wide open mouth. Where is he going now? And what did the angel say? Get back to that upper room and go seek the Lord. That's what they did. For 9 days, this year novena, 9 days they sought the face of God Almighty. He had already left them and gone back to heaven. And they sought the face of God himself. And the word of God says, on the day of Pentecost. Now, what's Pentecost for the Jews? It was the giving of the LAW, the law. On the day of Pentecost, they were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And there came a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole place. A rushing mighty wind. We need that wind, oh God. That rushing mighty wind. We need that wind because we have so many cobwebs in our lives. So many cobwebs. We need the wind to blow them out. Blow them out and blow them out again so that we can hear your word again and so you can do what you call us to do. We need that, Lord, because we've grown dull. Oh, yes, we've grown dull. And what's the answer to growing dull? Wake up. Let the King of Kings kiss you and wake up and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to people that many times in their lives had said to the Lord, now, I'll never, ever, ever look back and tell you, you're not doing anything. But that's what's happening. They're looking back and they're saying, you're not doing anything. What does Jesus want to tell them? There's power in the Holy Spirit. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Why not ask today? Holy Spirit, I'm desperate. I need a new outpouring. I need you to do something that only you could do, just like you did it at Pentecost. They were together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, in one accord. In one accord. And there came a rushing mighty wind 9 days later. My friends, we need that rushing mighty wind. We need it. You know, the church is going to start calling the church ordinary time. There's nothing ordinary about what happens. It's the time of the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing ordinary about ordinary time. I hate those words because God is at work in his church. And that's not ordinary. That's wonderful. That's dynamic. That's the power of God himself. I don't live in ordinary time. I live in the time of the Holy Spirit. Anthony doesn't live in ordinary time. He lives in the time of the Holy Spirit.
The time and the power. See, without the Holy Spirit, we're just doing good, holy, religious activities, which that can get us to heaven, amen. But God wants us not to live from the flesh, but to live the life of the Spirit, born again in the power of the Spirit, revealing the mysteries of God. The Holy Spirit is a person and we can grieve him. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He's our teacher. He reveals the mysteries of heaven to us. He unlocks and reveals the destiny that God has for you before the foundation of the world. The Holy Spirit brings healing. The Holy Spirit brings life. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is life. There is vibrancy. There is excitement, power, yeah. Grace. You know, you can tell when someone's living from the flesh, and I'm going to do these good, holy things. Amen. But this, you can tell when someone's received the baptism of the Spirit because they came to a point in their life where they were ready to surrender everything. everything to Jesus, no longer to live for themselves, but to live only for the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer living on my terms, but the terms of Jesus Christ. And in that moment, Jesus Christ crowns them with the Holy Spirit. And guess in that moment, all control leaves. All of their desires, it no longer matters what I desire. It is what the Lord desires for me. Jesus came to do the Father's will. So the only thing we are hyper-focused on, and the Spirit is revealing to you, what is the Father's will for this moment, for this day, for your life? And you begin to live from the Spirit. You get in a place of intimacy with God. That you open the tap from heaven. As the Spirit flows in you, you begin to pray in other tongues. Boko, tobo, robo, sampa, megararanto, mekinta, barre, sanamakinto. You begin to release power. See, do you want to hear the voice of the Lord? Everyone would say yes, but the qualification to hear the voice of the Lord is to be obedient to that voice. If the Lord knows that you're not going to be disobedient to what he's telling you to do, he's not going to put you in a position that you fail. The Lord rather not have you not hear his voice than hear his voice and not comply with what he's calling you to do. What could the Lord be calling you to do? To go evangelize, to pray, to fast, to go to a new level in the Spirit, to read the Word of God, you know, to pray, to begin to surrender. It's just little acts of surrender. If you want to be active in the spiritual realm, you need to surrender and sacrifice. We are known in the spiritual realm for the sacrifices we're making for the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, he was a living sacrifice for the whole world. We're called down to lay down our life, lay down our will, lay down our desires, and just allow the Lord to fill us with his desires. You know, and it's so good. It's a life that's not going to be comfortable. It's a life that's not always going to be easy, but it's a life of complete fulfillment. People who try to be happy are miserable because happiness just has to do with circumstance. People who give it all up for the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to serve you to the day that I die. Those people may not always have happiness, but they have fulfillment. And they have joy. They have fruits of the Holy Spirit. That there's a joy and a fulfillment in them because they know that they are doing what God created them to do. To love, to serve, to honor God. Are you doing what the Lord created you to do? To love, honor, to serve God at every moment? You cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit and living from the Spirit. But you cannot do that without a total surrender and abandonment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Abandon yourself to the Lord today. Let go of all control today. The Holy Spirit is so good. You got to identify, when am I living for myself and my flesh? When am I living for comfort, for control, for to feel comfortable? And when am I moving past that into the place of the spiritual realm? See, as Christians, we should be controlling the spiritual realm. We should be controlling spirits. We should be rebuking sickness. We should be healing people. We should be casting out demons. We should do all these things that Jesus instructed us to do. But that only comes when you're in the Spirit. On the Lord's day, he was in the Spirit. We got to see things as not carnal people, but spiritual people. But the Word of God says when the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will remind, Jesus said, he will remind you of everything I've taught you. He will lead you into all truth. Good feelings don't set you free. No. Good works don't set you free. No. The truth sets you free. Yes. But the truth only comes by the revelation of the Word of God, the teaching of the church, but the private revelation that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to you today.
Today, not tomorrow, today. God is the God of today. He is the God of the now. And you and I are faced with Jesus himself now. Do you want to continue and have the power that I died and rose to give you? Are you going to quit because everything's going wrong? You have to make a decision. I want to go on. You want to know why? Because greater things God has, if we're faithful. Oh, yes, it's all about being faithful. And I'm going to tell you a secret. I cannot be faithful unless Jesus gives me his Holy Spirit. I cannot be faithful. I started in 1968. I've been up and down, down and up, on mountains and valleys. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. By the grace of God. Not my grace, the grace of God. You want to know why I'm still here? Because I know that I know that I've got nothing apart from Jesus. I've got zilch apart from Jesus. But I am not apart from him. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Do what you want to me. Do what you want to me. Touch people that you want that never been touched. We give you permission to do anything you want. We give you permission to touch the lame, the sick, the blind, the deaf, and the lukewarm Christians. Oh, touch the lukewarm Christians now. Put them on fire. Send the Spirit upon them. Change lives. Let there be a new Pentecost in lukewarm Christians. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.